same thing.
WhatTalkRadio.com.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is Monday Night Raw. The bus is taking over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward, you're scared.
I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Do you see this? This is the Kevin Owens Show!
Interesting night of Raw it was. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. You can hear us on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network so you can listen anywhere you are, anytime we are live. It is free coast to coast on TuneIn Radio. We are presented by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
It's here. It's Monday night. It's the second to last Raw before the draft.
It's Monday night. You know what that? It's Monday night. You know what that means?
It's time to beat up John Cena.
It is time to beat up John Cena. But you know what that means? It's Wyatt time.
Yes, it is Wyatt time. It is Wyatt time. I've waited all day for Wyatt time.
I'm just going to let this music play a little bit, and I'm just going to let you talk about the thing, the Wyatt compound, as it's being called.
All right, well, we took a little trip to the mysterious Wyatt compound this evening on Monday Night Raw. It was an interesting little trip. We had New Day arrive. It was night. It was dark. They're standing by this old truck. These car lights shoot up one by one. We hear these tires squealing in the mud. And next thing we know, somebody tries to crush New Day with an old car. Because, you know, that's what you want to do to welcome guests. We then have Bray and the boys appear. A fight ensues. There's pitchforks and pickaxes and moss, I think, is what Eric had. Anyway, oh my. We see Bray chasing Xavier with a pickaxe. He almost takes his head off with it. At one point, as Xavier is hiding behind a tree, they fight and Bray drags an unconscious Xavier back. New Day the rest of New Day battles Braun and Eric. Braun gets chucked into the window of the car, cuts himself rather badly. At one point, the windows of the car get busted out. The Wyatts and New Day continue to fight. However, New Day gets the upper hand, and they stand tall over Bray Wyatt, who's kneeling in the mud, but he's not alone. You see Eric and Braun appear from the shadows. The Fireflies surround them, and out of nowhere come the rest of the Wyatt followers, carrying lanterns, wearing masks, and Bray tells them to follow the buzzards. I know a lot of people didn't like this for a lot of different reasons. This has been compared heavily to the Final Deletion. I see why it's being compared to the Final Deletion. It's done a week after. There are similar aspects to it. However, I feel like this was really, to me, really well done. I'm not a video expert, but I like the feel of it. I like that it had a horror movie type aspect to it. I like the way that they cut it, that you really couldn't tell what was going on, because I think if it was just a straight them fighting in the mud type thing, I don't think people would have responded to it the way that it was. It was just, oh, it's just, you know, Bray and the fam fighting New Day in the Mud type thing. Because I think a lot of people are expecting this to be a match, and this was not a match. This was a fight. This was New Day answering the Wyatt challenge, going out to the compound and challenging Bray and the boys on their home turf. So I liked how they did everything. I liked the presentation of it. We had, like I said, we had several attempted murders, and the fact that New Day almost got hit by a car. Bray tried to take Xavier's head off. Braun and Eric were trying to take out Big E and Kofi. They were throwing each other around, beating the crap out of each other. I liked the fight. I enjoyed it. What'd you think?
It was a fight. That, number one, this was a fight. This happened over the weekend, so this was not like, oh, hey, we're just gonna cut live to the compound and here's a fight. They called them out, brought them to their compound, they fought. It's everything this was supposed to be. Was it inspired by the Final Deletion? Yes. Was it trying to rip off the Final Deletion? No. The Final Deletion is about one man going insane. No one's gone insane in this one. This was the Wyatt family trying to show the New Day that it's not everything is just sunshine and rainbows. It's not all a positive world. There's darkness in this world. And they showed the New Day darkness, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this as well. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I like this better than Final Deletion, but then again, I'm not a huge fan of the Hardys, so I can appreciate what Final Deletion was, but I really didn't enjoy it. I got much more enjoyment out of this. That's because I like the Wyatts way better, so I'm extremely biased in this matter. But I like the way it felt. I like that you saw the Wyatts as a very serious, scary threat.
Again, it showed a different side of the Wyatt family. Everyone talks about what they want to see out of the Wyatt family, and they want to see development in just, oh, Bray Wyatt, spooky promo, haha, he says the same thing. This, he brought them, and this made Braun Strowman look like a monster, made Eric Rowan look like a monster, Bray Wyatt look like a monster. It showed them in their true habitat.
Again, Bray Wyatt took a pickaxe to Xavier Woods' head. It went into a tree, but he took a pickaxe to Xavier Woods' head.
Right. There were no modern-day drones. This was a backwoods fight, and that's what you wanted.
There was no fire, there were no fireworks, there were no drones, there was no gardener, there was no ring.
Final Deletion was a movie. This was a part of a movie.
This was, I mean, the format, the way that it was filmed, I can see the similarities. Like, I can see the similarities between the two, but I can see a lot of the differences as well. And it's like, is it meant to be a response to Final Deletion? Yes. Absolutely. 100% is WWE's response to Final Deletion. However, it's done, I think, differently enough to where it doesn't match Final Deletion. Some people think it's worse. I think it's better. Because for me, Final Deletion is exactly that. It's the end of a feud. It's the blow-off of the Matt-Jeff feud. So now you have Matt and Jeff going off and doing their own separate things, whereas this is being used as a stepping stone for the Wyatt family to continue the story with New Day to get to Battleground, or get to SummerSlam, or wherever they're trying to go with the story.
Right.
So this is more of a stepping stone that just furthers the story and furthers the tale, whereas, you know, you get to the end of Final Deletion and Matt wins, spoiler alert, and it's like, okay, well, now what do you do? Now where do you go?
Exactly. And people, you know, the majority of the people who watch Final Deletion will comment about it, and because Final Deletion was over the top and campy, people like that stuff. That's fine. I enjoyed Final Deletion. So much so, we riffed it right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Click on the banner. It's in the chat page and on the main site. Click it. Watch it. It's awesome.
Cheap lug.
I know, right? But the point is, this, again, as she mentioned, this was to get, this has taken us to a point. This is not the end. This is only a stepping stone. And as I said, this was trying to show, this is the Wyatt world. This is what they deal with.
This is the stuff they can't get away with with a live crowd. That's the thing. Because they can take them out in the woods. They can have them do whatever they really want to do, i.e. the cars and the pickaxes and the pitchforks and everything else. And they can edit that down. And for the way more violent stuff, they can sort of edit a lot of that out and just show more of the fight, with splicing in some of those more violent moments to show the Wyatt family as dangerous monsters. Like, this almost takes the Wyatt family back to at least when they first debuted on the main roster, if not further back, where you had the Wyatt family basically come out and execute Kane.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happened in that feud, is Bray Wyatt, at the end of the Inferno match at SummerSlam sits there. They put Kane on the steel steps and they basically guillotine Kane with the steel steps. So it's very similar to that kind of mentality for the family where they just come out and they just mess people up. There is no real agenda. There is no real anything other than Bray just wants to destroy New Day and what they stand for and what they represent.
I'm going to be curious to see how the New Day react the next time we see them.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if we see any more jokes, any more mocking, that type of thing. This was meant to basically make New Day see you're in trouble. You are messing with the wrong people.
Exactly. So, there were other things that happened on the show.
There were other things that happened on the show.
Including a battle royal for the number one contendership to the Intercontinental Championship. You had Baron Corbin, the Dudleys, the Rio, Goldust, R-Truth, the Eustace, Vaude Villains, Bo Dallas, Jack Swagger, Darren Young, Curtis Axel, The Ascension, Dolph Ziggler, and the only man who got an entrance, Apollo Crews.
Yep.
So
it was a battle royal.
It was a battle royal. The Miz was really good on commentary. He actually brought up John Morrison on commentary, which was interesting. So Crews and Corbin were down. They were fighting, and they both fell over the top rope and tumbled to the floor. So who won? But Darren Young. That's who. Yes. Darren Young is now the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship, who won one battle royal. One battle royal.
That's okay. Like, I'm really happy for Darren.
And then on the other hand, you had Sheamus versus Zack Ryder. Ryder wants a U.S. title shot. So what happens on Raw? Sheamus beats him. Which then had Rusev come out, attack Zack Ryder, and then yell he accepts his challenge. Should note that Sheamus attacked Zack Ryder in the back right before the match.
So is the League of Nations back together?
No, they just have a common enemy in Zack Ryder.
Okay.
My point is, I'm not the biggest Zack Ryder fan, but if you're going to have him challenge for a championship, have him win a match. Continue to win streak. Because no one wants to see a loser compete for championships. Just saying. I mean, that's how they built the Titus feud. He didn't win a match, but he got a title shot. Speaking of Titus O'Neil, he won a match tonight on Raw against Heath Slater.
Yes, he did.
Why wasn't he winning matches before his U.S. title shot? I don't get this backwards book.
I don't either.
Like, say what you want about the Wyatt compound thing. The backwards booking of the championship contenders is strange.
I think it's like, okay, we're going to make Titus eat crow even further, even after his 60-day suspension, because it's generally what they do after you get suspended, is you come back and you lose. And then they decide, okay, we're going to push you now. I think that's what's happened is like they feel Titus has been punished enough, and so now they're going to push him again. I have no idea. Like, I don't know. It's really confusing, though. It's like either push Titus or don't push Titus.
Make up your mind.
Seriously, make up your mind.
It just, to me, when I think of contenders for a championship, I want them to be on a winning streak. So Ryder should be on a winning streak if you're going to make him a championship contender on a pay-per-view, which it looks like they're doing. And same with Darren Young. And now for the next three shows, have him win matches. Don't have him lose, because that would be stupid.
Yeah, that would be stupid.
Lucha Dragons took on Tyler Breeze and Fandango, or Breezango as they're called. And believe it or not, they had a good finish to this matchup. Breezango won.
Points!
I enjoyed this little match.
I thought it was great. It was really competitive. Both of them went for it. I thought it was a nice match.
That was a very nice little match they had. We had Kevin Owens and Cesaro. Sami Zayn was on commentary, or was going to be on commentary, until, well, Kevin didn't come out, and he wanted Sami removed from the announce table.
Kevin threw a tantrum. Sami had to leave. Sami threw a tantrum, beat Kevin up.
After the match,
solid stuff.
Owens beat Cesaro. They had a good match.
They had a great match. I love these two together. But yeah, they just need to put Owens and Zayn in Hell in a Cell.
Let's get that trending somewhere.
Yeah. Owens and Zayn just needs to be Hell in a Cell.
That's
please.
All. That's all.
It needs Somebody to be. Book that.
And if they stay together on a brand, they'll definitely get a cell.
Yeah. They need to stay together, at least for this year, just to do the Hell in a Cell match. I don't care if you split them apart after that, but we need the Hell in a Cell match between Zayn and Owens. Like, that needs to happen. I can't wait, like, 10 years to get that match. I just can't, because they're not going to be around in 10 years, so.
So we had Carl Anderson, AJ Styles, and Luke Gallows backstage. They were talking about, with Renee Young, about the match. And they mocked the idea of Cena caring about anyone other than John Cena. They know Cena's in LA for a rehearsal for the ESPYs. Styles said they will take out Enzo Cass and they will go to LA and crash the ESPY Awards because beat up John Cena. Because that's a thing. So we had Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson take on Enzo Amore and Big Cass. This was a good matchup between the two teams. It ended in disqualification when AJ Styles got involved and threw Cass over the barricade. It was the circle around Enzo Amore. And then John Cena live in Detroit, all the way from Hollywood, comes down, makes the save. As the fans went crazy for John Cena, we had a huge Cena chant. They were chanting, "We want Cena" during the match. Well, it was, "We want Cena, no we don't."
Yeah.
But this was good. Nice use of Cena, especially on his long, long day of preparing for the ESPYs.
That poor man.
Now he's going to fly back to L.A. So we went from L.A. to Detroit, back to L.A. Ooh.
That's rough.
That's a rough schedule. But that's why John Cena is the face of WWE.
Because he just does that kind of stuff.
He does that kind of thing. We had Sasha Banks versus Dana Brooke in the wrestling main event of the show. They had a good match.
They had a great match. I enjoyed this thoroughly.
Best match out of Dana Brooke in a long time. Sasha Banks made Dana Brooke tap out. After the match, Charlotte mocks Sasha with a congratulations. She said that because you won a match with the purple hair, she thinks she's a contender. She said anyone can get lucky once. She said a guy in the crowd could buy a Powerball ticket and win. She said Sasha could face Dana again on SmackDown and maybe she'll be prove herself that she's worthy of a title match. I like the cockiness of Charlotte. And we'll probably have Dana and Sasha on SmackDown.
Which I'm okay with.
I'm okay with it as well. So, earlier in the evening, backstage, Seth Rollins was talking with Shane and Stephanie, and, you know, he has some footage he needs to show about Roman Reigns. And, well, he decided he wants his own talk show called The Rollins Report. And that's what we got. Which was a mock interview using old clips of Roman Reigns with Seth Rollins doing the interview. Basically, you know, yeah, I'm proud of doing cheating and all that stuff. It was great.
You know, I know a lot of people don't like this. Again, I personally enjoy the hell out of this because it's WWE taking a negative and using it to its full advantage to try and turn it into a positive. It's like Roman can't be there for the build. So the easiest way for them to include Roman right now is for Seth to stand there and just take shot after shot after shot at Roman, and this was just, there was no chill to this whatsoever.
Rollins asked a question, "Are you embarrassed?" He said, "No, not at all. Oh.
I'm proud of what I did." Yeah, it's like,
yeah, you know, "Do you belong in the triple threat?" "No." And, you know, Rollins asked how Roman feels about Dean as champion. Reigns answers he wants to puke, and then Rollins like, "Finally, we something we agree on." And then Rollins was on the campaign of getting rid of him again. Dean Ambrose came out. Ambrose said, "The video was good. You finally got the stick out of your ass and had some fun." Rollins called Ambrose title reign a joke and labeled him as a coward. Rollins said Ambrose can't beat him in a singles match and recalled that Ambrose tried repeatedly to do so during his previous reign as champion. Rollins said Ambrose is afraid and won't give him a one-on-one rematch. Rollins says it's fine. It's all about what it's always been about, and this between him, Ambrose, and Reigns, who is the best member of S.H.I.E.L.D. Rollins said he was better than Ambrose before and during the S.H.I.E.L.D., and he will be again at Battleground. Ambrose said he's on top of the world as the top man in the industry. He said he proved long ago that he's more than a joke. He questioned how many guys got suspended or, you know, sometimes are here and sort of flash in the pans or went to fantasy, you know, do fantasy sports. Live out of fantasy in other sports, basically is the line. He goes, "I'm the king of the company. It's been that way for a long time, and now the whole world knows it." He asked if Rollins is willing to go through everything he did to get the title. Imagine how far he's going to go to keep the championship. Ember says, "Not a joke when he says that Rollins reigns. Vince McMahon or God himself will have to pry the title from his cold, dead hands." He said, "It's not happening at Battleground or ever." Ember said he would give Rollins a shot 101 anytime, any place. And was like, all right, we'll do it. Detroit sounds like a good place. And never mind, not tonight.
And Seth chickens out.
And maybe next week, which we learn it will be next week for the WWE Championship, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw.
I'm okay with this. I'm 100% okay with this.
Ambrose was great.
Ambrose taking shots.
Ambrose took shots. He made himself serious while still having a fun time. This was perfect. This is why Dean Ambrose should be champion. This is why Rollins should be the number one contender and another face of the company. These two are the future.
Dean sold it in the fact that he looked at Seth and he was dead serious when he said it. Of, "You know everything I've done to get here. You know everything I've done to get this title. Knowing all of that, what do you think I'm going to do to keep it?"
Exactly.
And Seth had just the perfect look on his face of just, oh crap. Mm-hmm. Didn't think about that one
at all.
I love these two together. They're magic together. It's going to be a shame when they get split up in the draft, because we all know they're getting split up in the draft. But yeah, Dean and Seth have just make magic together. They are wrestling soulmates. And when Roman comes back, Seth needs to run. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Because Roman's going to be pissed.
Yeah, he will. So, earlier, during the Kevin Owens situation with Sami Zayn, Vince McMahon arrived and was asked by Renee, "What are you doing here?" Vince said he's here to name the new CEO of SmackDown Live. And then, well, he thought about it, we need something bigger. We need something new, something fresh. So I'm going to name the commissioner of SmackDown Live tonight.
That's not new.
It's not new. Actually, COOs would be new. And so no one's aware of his decision, and, he'll let us know later on tonight. And that was the main event segment of this show. Who will be the SmackDown commissioner? And Vince was like, "You both did a fair job," but he's disappointed. He didn't think either one of them came from his loins. He questioned Stephanie being passive aggressive and getting along, and, she's all sweet, and he mocked her, and it was great, and she got pissed, and she asked the crowd if she's sweet, and they said no, and Vince said Shane shouldn't even be here, and he brought up the big leap, and, that was ruthless aggression, but that was just stupidity. Fans were chanting for Shane. Vince asked where the hell that has been. Where's the competition? He wants competition. He wants them to convince him why they should be the SmackDown commissioner. He told Steph to convince him, and she, took off the gloves, mentioned the McFoley podcast, and, said a bunch of things, and then Shane stuck up for the crowd, and, he brought up change and what he's going to do for change and tells it like it is and all that fun stuff. So he asked Vince if he had the grapefruits to, name him commissioner. And Stephanie said it was like manipulating children because, Shane panders to the crowd. And Vince says he doesn't care what the people think. He said the only one of them has to be named commissioner. The drum roll happened, and then Vince looked both of them and announced Shane McMahon is the commissioner of SmackDown Live, and Shane had a big old celebration. He did his dance, he went everywhere, and then Vince calmed everything down and said Shane's no longer in charge of Raw, and then Vince McMahon announced Stephanie McMahon, the commissioner of the flagship, and then 3-hour Raw, and she celebrated, but Vince was not done. He wants them to compete. He wants them to compete for television ratings, social media metrics, to make the stockholders happy, live event attendance, and merchandise. He said one of them might inherit the keys to the kingdom. He wants them to compete so badly that they can break laws. Just don't get caught. But they need someone to run the day-to-day business, so they need to name general managers to their respective shows next week on Raw. And if they don't, he'll name them for them.
God help us all if that happens.
So let the games begin.
Okay,
There's more, but continue. Go.
I hate this. I hate that they're going to make it Raw versus SmackDown. I hated it the last time. I'm going to hate it this time. Why? Why do they have to be pitted against each other? Somebody please explain this to me.
Because Vince wants competition, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what the competition really means.
It didn't spark competition last time. It sparked stupidity. Just saying.
So, Vince leaves. Stephanie says she had to work twice as hard for half the recognition. She said Shane tried to make her feel like nothing. She said she's going to make him wish he was never born a McMahon or even born in general. Shane Stephanie says is talking with Venom and conviction. She said he said she usually does when she's trying to hide something. Shane said Stephanie is scared. He said she's going to be looking up at him just like she's always has. And he says, game on. Stephanie says, there's only one game in this business and she's married to him. And then a big old slap.
No, Steph. Oh, Steph.
He kissed her on the cheek. Stephanie tried to leave. She almost fell down the stairs. And that's how it is. So next week on Raw, you will get new general managers to work with the commissioners. I like that part because it'll add balance to whatever they do and cover for them for when one of them cannot make a show.
Yeah, that's what you need. Because we don't need Shane and Steph every week. They can't be there every week, especially Shane. Shane has a life outside WWE. So it's going to be good that you have somebody there representing their interests. And then that way, it's something of the general managers can be changed. So it's like if Shane and Steph aren't happy with somebody, they can get rid of them and bring someone else. May I just suggest, for SmackDown, take her for GM. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. get that man off his couch. Just for the irony of the fact that Shane fought Taker in Hell in a Cell to get the job, and then he's going to name Taker GM. Because why the hell not? Because
why the hell not? To one last point before we wrap up this evening. It's all about competition, but I think it's about making the brands special. So I'm taking a wait-and-see approach on it. Well, you're not.
I'm trying to give the brand split a chance, but the second he's like, I want Raw versus SmackDown, it's like, no, not doing that again. No. Did it for 7 years. Uh-uh.
We'll see how it goes. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, it's The Rack, and I have a feeling we're going to talk more about this.
Oh, yes. We're going to be talking all about the upcoming draft, which happens next week. We will be laying our opinions in onto it. We'll maybe do a mock fantasy draft. I have no idea, but we are talking the draft. We also have news. We have notes. We have NXT. And do we want to... We've announced it, right?
Yeah, we've been playing teasers.
Well, I want to make sure...
We did the teaser at the top of this show on Thursday. I know you've drank since then.
I've drank since then. We're also joined by the amazing, the awesome Pat Patterson. So you don't want to miss that. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud. Subscribe to the YouTube channel for awesome WWE 2K16 videos about SummerSlam. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, some Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega, previewing WWE Battleground, and previewing the upcoming WWE Draft. So much more, WTR Sunday on Facebook, Twitter, WrestleTalkRadio.com to vote in the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. The voting will begin tomorrow afternoon, and hopefully you guys can break the tie. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, as Dean Ambrose battles Seth Rollins, and who are the new general managers of Raw and SmackDown. We'll talk about it next week on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter.
GirlWork.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday present this show. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack with Pat Patterson's Draft of War. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Fist in my pocket. Here comes the money. Money, money, money.